Bibles passed out. David's going to turn on the pulpit lights for me, and we're going to, anybody need a Bible, just quickly, just put up your hand real quick, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we're going to have several folks teaching through this. I think that one of the things that we're seeing as the Lord's kind of beginning to show us more as our expectation has grown, as our expectation of what God wants to do and what God can do, as that begins to sort of expand, the cool thing is we're seeing more and more gifts begin to take place. So we're seeing people with these gifts of teaching. We're seeing a very significant mantle of prophecy upon our fellowship. And these are things to me that's like, you know, you're just kind of like, wow, this is exciting. Honestly, not totally sure what to do with all of it. And if you are totally sure what to do about it, just pop in this week. We'll have coffee. You can tell me. But the thing is here's the deal. I'm not afraid. Not afraid. Because I see these things in the Bible, and I'm not afraid to back over the roses. Now, we've talked about that, haven't we? How many of us, when we're learning to drive, you know, we had those incidences. Those, you know, they weren't tragedies. They were just little hiccups. They were stories to tell later in life where you're backing out, you know, and you're like, you know, it's like you back over the roses. That's cool. Well, okay, it's not cool, but it happens. And all you do is you learn from it and you go forward. So as we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to talk about just these, what we're calling the manifestation gifts. Now remember, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here, this is not a complete list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I want you to understand that. One of the things that it was so neat to have that time with Josh Klinkenberg yesterday, because he reiterated so many things that were in my heart that helped me to sort of have that confidence that we're on this the right path. That hot pursuit is not in vain. And so one of the things he said is, it's like, how many of us have read through this sort of list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? And as we do, we're like, well, yeah, I just don't really see myself there. I don't really see a gift that I have. I want to reiterate, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, tells us that each one has received a gift and that we're to minister it to one another. And as you read through this, you may say, well, I don't really see myself. That's cool. This is not a complete list. We've talked about some of the other lists. There's Romans chapter 12 that gives another list that has some overlap with this, but it has some new aspects as well. We see Ephesians chapter 4, very important area that talks about not really sort of gifts that are given to individuals, but individuals who are given as gifts to the body of Christ. It's quite neat as we see those fivefold ministry gifts. There's places, Exodus chapter 31, a few other places in the Old Testament where we see people who are given construction gifts. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, where they just have, and the Bible said that they had wisdom and understanding to construct these things. Maybe that's you. You're a builder. You know, you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. You have the ability to do these things that are God-given. So I don't want you to feel limited by this. What I do want you to understand is you have a gift. Okay? And some of us, when we hear that, we're like, well, you know, a gift, that's for like the A-team. Yeah, no. That's for all of us. And so what we're going to do is we're gonna draw that out. You know what I mean? We're gonna draw that out and see where they come. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, and I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, but it's just a pretty standard version. So you can follow along in whatever version you have, but it says there, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers. Now here's the thing, and we've talked about this. If you'll note in your Bible, the word gifts there is likely italicized. Now remember, when a word is italicized in your English Bible, it's a word that's not in the original text, but has been added for clarity. Now 9 times out of 10, it doesn't add clarity, but I appreciate the heart of what people are doing. So this is saying, it's like, look, now concerning spiritual stuff, it says, I do not want you to be uninformed. Or I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, once again, the reason that Paul is telling us to be aware or not be ignorant is because there can be a tendency around these things to be a little bit ignorant. And he doesn't want that. So he's trying to bring some insight here. He said, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you may have been led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So the thing is in the church in Corinth, as it says here, they had previously been pagans. They came out of a certain background. As they came out of that background, it was a background where they had multiple spirits who were represented by these little idols. And as these spiritual gifts began to manifest in a body of people. Now, here's the thing where I find so much commonality between Rotorua and Corinth. The reality is Corinth was an exceptionally, it was a hyper-spiritual culture. In other words, spiritual warfare, spiritual battle, spiritual sensitivity was something that these folks would have been very comfortable with. How true is that in Rotorua? You know, we don't need to, oftentimes, you know, I grew up in California. I grew up in sort of upper middle class California where we were all concerned about going to the beach than anything spiritual. And effectively, you would try to talk to people about spiritual warfare, about the reality that there's an enemy seeking to destroy them, about demons and angels, and they just be like, dude, you're out of your mind. And I come to Rotorua, and you tell people this, and they're like, oh yeah. Like unsaved people. Like they get that there's a battle going on, but all we need to do is sort of subtly turn them in a direction. And that was what was going on in Corinth. But the problem was, is because of their tendency to associate one gift, as these gifts began to manifest in a healthy Christian body, they'd say, oh, that's the spirit of wisdom. Or that's the spirit of tongues. Or that's the spirit of healing. And Paul is saying, no. It's the same spirit. These aren't little like demigods that are involved in you know, Christianity. This is all the same spirit. And that's kind of the point he's making. So this is not a complete list. It's a partial list. But he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So he says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, this is why we call them the manifestation gifts. Now, this word manifestation, it's really cool. It means to bring the light or to announce. I think that's awesome. He said, look, when we go out and we operate in these gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're announcing, we're shedding light on who Jesus is to the world. The reality is I think some of us have been kind of swallowed this idea that Jesus is Savior. Okay, Scott, where are you going with this? Okay, Jesus is Savior, okay? But I'm here to suggest something to you. He's not only Savior. See, we have several names for God in the Old Testament that are all a picture of who Jesus is. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the God who is your banner, your cheerleader. He's Jehovah Makkah, the God who strikes. See, it's this idea that sort of Jesus is just Savior. And so when we believe that, that's all we present, is Jesus as Savior. But when we're talking about on earth as it is in heaven, and that's not just some quaint catchphrase that we made up. It's a verse of the Bible. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, and as we hear that, we need to understand that in heaven. Okay, I'm not going to get sidetracked. So there's this manifestation of the Spirit. And it goes on, verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Okay, now it's going to go on and it's going to talk about a, like I say, a partial list for the sake of Paul's argument here. Now, as we go through these, like I say, different people are going to sort of present a little bit of insight. They're going to give, so we understand that you're going to get more than one take on this. I'm going to do the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge over the next 2 weeks. Then Jabron's going to come in with the gift of faith. Katrina's going to talk about the gift of healing. Then it's going to come back to me for the working of miracles. Leonie, after that, is going to talk about prophecy. Barbara's going to take us through the discerning of spirits. And then Jeremy's going to do tongues with interpretation. So we're going to talk about these things. And there's going to be some interaction. But here's the thing. We're told in the book of James that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So here's the deal, guys. Hang on tight. Okay, hang on tight. Because I'm not just here to inform you. Now, the cool thing is we've seen things settle a little bit, and we're most of us know each other, and we're getting more comfortable with each other, and that's good, and that's necessary. For when we're comfortable with each other, we're going to start to become comfortable in practicing these gifts around each other a little more. Uh-oh, where are you going? Yeah, this is not an observational exercise. This is going to be interactive, okay? Let me tell you, Marley, no one gets out, okay? Just make sure. We're watching the door, all right? So there's going to be interaction. And the cool thing is, now here's the thing. Some of you guys go, oh, man, he's always doing this kind of stuff. It's like he wants to see heaven on earth. Oh, wow. Oh, I see you. Where are you? No, and the reality is it's like, Marley, okay. Now, the reality is as we begin to sort of do these things, I've never seen, people have come back over the last sort of week or two, and as we've been pushing these things, and a lot of the folks were there on Wednesday nights, they come back and they're like, you know, I prayed with my boss, or I met someone at work, or I was out on the street and I prayed for healing, or on outreach, I did this, or I spoke a word of wisdom over something, and it's like, I just want to share with you guys, like, they're never like, yeah, it was so lame. So disappointed I did that. You know what I mean? Never once. They're always just like, looking, high five. You know, and you're like, oh, okay. Right. You know, and they're just like, woo. And you're like, all right, I got to go. But, you know, oh, I'm stoked for you. You know, and they're just like, they're excited. And it's cool. Why? Because God worked through them. When the youth came back last night, they were just like, it was amazing. And I want you guys to have that. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. I forgot. The Christian walk is all about your comfort. How foolish of me. Clearly, it's not. So hang on tight. We're going to recognize, we're going to expect, we're going to pursue, and we're going to cultivate. We're going to cultivate as we do this. So here's the thing. Understanding is where we start. Understanding is very important, but here's the deal. Most of us have been heavily influenced by Western thought, Greco-Roman philosophy. And for many people who are influenced by that, because that's what our educational system crams down our throat, when that happens, we become satisfied simply with understanding. We're not necessarily looking for experience. We're not looking to take it into that place of actually doing something with it. So we start with understanding. We start with understanding what can be expected, and that brings faith. Oh, you mean I expect this? Yeah, praise the Lord. Awesome. So when I have an understanding, that's going to bring faith. Faith brings access. It brings access. Do you know what is the requirement to have, to operate in these things? Hunger. Asking. Wanting. Desiring. Pursuing. That's what's necessary. So access then leads to action. So we go understanding, faith, access, action. Understand, guys, listen to me. Understanding's way back there on the trail. Okay? Because a lot of us will say, oh, you know, there's this gift of healings. Yes, I understand that. Okay. Have you done anything with it? No. Well, I don't think that's necessary. I have an understanding of what the gift of healing is. I have read several accounts of it. I've seen it. It's in Scripture. I think that's good for me. No. Here's the problem. Studying about something is very tidy. But it's going to get messy in here. Okay? How many of you, it's like in many ways, many of us, we're babes, babies, infants in the use of these spiritual gifts. And so one of the things that happens with an infant is oftentimes their head is out of proportion to the rest of their body. Okay? I'm not, you know, okay? You know, our head is out of proportion to our body. I remember as a kid, they had those 5-gallon buckets, and it has the picture on the side of, like, don't leave water in these 5-gallon buckets, because in the baby, like, tip. Did you guys ever see that? Okay, well, it can be a problem, all right? Because their head is so big, and you ever see babies walk along, you know? It's like that's what is happening with a lot of us. Our head is out of proportion to the rest of our body, and the reality is you got to grow up. You got to come into balance. And so as we do this, as we grow up, suddenly the body's going to come into proportion with our understanding or our head. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand as we get into this, as we're jumping into this, sometimes we'll say things like, you know, why can't I just have all the spiritual gifts? This is a very common kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek rebuke in our house. You know, oh, you have all the spiritual gifts. Okay. You know, yeah. Well, and sometimes we ask that question. You know, it's like, I remember, I don't know, you know, how many, in high school, when you did the group project, how many of you actually liked group projects? Oh, dude, I hated group projects. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm smarter than all these people anyways. Why are they piggybacking on me? Okay. I'm sorry, was that out loud? Sometimes I think these things. So it's like, the thing is the Christian walk is a big group project. You know, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's like God's really into family. He's really into cultivating relationship. And there is a tendency that many of us have. Here's the deal, guys. When you get hurt, and that can happen through offense, through letdown, through expectations. When you get hurt, your tendency often is not to fall into a group of people. Your tendency is to step back. And many of us, that is what we've done with our lives. We have stepped back. Not only have we stepped back, we have built very secure fences around ourselves so people can't get in. You will be robbing yourself from the fullness of experiencing the body of Christ, experiencing the Spirit of God moving within you, experiencing the spiritual gifts. Why? Because God wants to make you rely on the people who are around you. So oftentimes these things work in part so that we can get the whole. It's because God wants you to learn to rely on other people in the body of Christ because he's really into family. Because you do better around people. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Okay? Honestly, how many of you have ever come across a hermit who was like well-groomed? You know what I'm saying? Just clean-shaven, really like smelled nice, you know, like clothes immaculate. No, it never happened. You guys never go talk to hermits? Okay, dude, they're always like scruffy, long beard, and you're just like, oh my God, who died in here, okay? It's like that's what happens. How many of us, when we're hanging out on our own for a couple days, like the house is just immaculate, and we're just like, oh, you know, ooh, look at ironed clothes and everything. No. When we hang out on our own, we're usually not at our best. But oftentimes, we're very comfortable. Now, that may not be what everybody wanted to hear, but working together with our gifts to manifest Jesus by his Spirit is the goal of what God wants us to do. So, often, these gifts that you have, these gifts that are in you, they're often there from birth. I want this point to really sink in. Okay, you think to yourself, well, you know, everybody can do that. Everybody's like that. You know, everybody can sort of, you know, keep rhythm like that, or everybody just knows things about people. Or you know, what, and you will think that. There are things that are happening that are supernatural in you, and you're convinced, man, these things, everybody does that. Okay, let me say, no, everybody doesn't do that, Rob. Everybody can't play the guitar like that, okay? I know you think they can. Leonie, making fun of me for the way I sing. No, everybody can't just sing like a bird, okay? It just doesn't happen. So the reality is, it's like we see these things, and we kind of go, look, one, you know, not. God, I have a loud voice, all right? Lord, what did you give me this for? I was literally driving the car yesterday with my wife. She put in earplugs. I kid you. Look at her. True story. We're talking, and I'm like, what the hell? And she's just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And I'm, what are you doing? And she's like, you're just speaking very loud. That's the way God made me, okay? Did the volume come down? No. Okay, it's like God, everybody can project like that. No, they can't. Okay, I've never, ever in my life, oh, could you just speak up a little bit? Never happened. God gifts us for the areas of ministry he wants, but what the enemy tries to do, God wants to put these things in your life, and he wants to cultivate you. He wants to lift you up and raise you up. But what the enemy does is he tries to stomp you down. The enemy from birth has been making some of you attempt to hate your gifts. I don't know how much detail I want to get into in this, but for me, there's an area of my life where it's a very supernatural area that I've operated in from as long as I can remember, and it's always made me very uncomfortable, really, really uncomfortable, and it has to do with like discerning of spirits and being able to sort of sense and see things, and it's like I grew up as a kid having like night terrors. And just being tormented by this, because I grew up in a family that did not know that there was a spiritual battle taking place. They knew there was a God, but they did not understand the idea of a spiritual battle. And so it took me a long time to sort of like become comfortable with that. And for some of you, it's the same. The enemy has been trying to make you hate these gifts because he doesn't want to see you use them, because it is the manifestation of the very Spirit of God to the world when you do. And so we're going to recognize, expect, and cultivate. Okay, now we're talking about the word of wisdom here. Remember, we've seen this in verse 8. It says, for to one is given through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, okay? And there's these two gifts that I'm going to link them together, because they're often used together, in my opinion. That's word of wisdom, word of knowledge. But there's another gift that has to do with kind of what we would call inspiration, and that's the gift of prophecy. And we need to understand that there is they don't all kind of fall under the same category. It's not like this, the sort of different ways of referring to the same thing. They're different. And we need to understand what these are. So we start off with this thing that it's a spiritual manifestation that God wants to give you that's called the word of wisdom. Now, what is it? The first thing we need to do is define what wisdom is. That's the first thing we need to understand. What is wisdom? A few things to understand. Wisdom is not just the spiritual manifestation of the word of wisdom is not just being wise. Okay, there's some who walk among us who are just, they're just wise. They're smart. You know, whether it be street smart, whether it be sort of insightful, whether it be they just have a very high IQ. We run into people like that, don't we? And we're like, look, they're just wise. Okay, that's not the word of wisdom. That may be a spirit of wisdom. Bible refers to that, but it's not the word of wisdom. At the same time, we can sort of, equate this maybe with being experienced or educated. You know, you have a lot of experience in an area. You know, you have a high degree of education. Well, that's awesome. And here's the thing. Please understand, we're not anti-education here. We're not anti-experience. You know, we don't sort of do the electrical work here by the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Jeremy's like, actually, no. And I'm like, no, brother. Clip the red wire, Rob. Yeah, that's the one. You know, no, we don't. We do it based on people who are educated and experienced. So the Bible says, you know, study to show yourself approved. So even when it comes to, you know, presenting Bible studies and whatnot, we don't just, you know, well, I trust in the Spirit, so I'm just going to get up here and, you know, never having read the portion of Scripture and just start waxing eloquent. No, that's not what we do. We study to show ourselves approved. But wisdom, I would say, is a solution, insight, or strategy. Okay, when you receive a word of wisdom, it is a solution. When you receive a word of knowledge, and we're going to talk about that more next week, it's facts. Okay, this often happens where you receive facts that were previously unknown. I've had this many, many times where the Lord will just give you a fact about someone. But the coolest thing is a word of wisdom is a solution. Divine solution, often where there was previously not expertise or experience. When I come up with electrical solutions at church, it is a word of wisdom. Okay. You know, Jeremy's like, dang, okay, well, you know, it's not something that we're like, yeah, that's about right. You know, it's an area where there was not previously, and that has never happened, by the way. don't worry if you start smelling smoke, okay? But it's an area where there's often not previous expertise. Now, once again, word of wisdom is a solution. Word of wisdom is a solution. I want you to get that. You know, so often we'll sit there and we'll lay awake at night in bed trying to figure something out. Okay, I don't want to show up hand, maybe just a little half hand, you know, whatever. How many of us do that? We sit there at night sort of swimming in our bed, tossing to and fro, running around and around and around as we're just kind of, and it's like what's going on in your brain is we can't figure it out. And it's that little rainbow wheel that your computer does. You know what I mean? When it's trying to access information that ain't there. How many of us, our brain is in that? Because your natural mind is trying to access a solution that you ain't got. Do you know what I've been learning to do? And I am one who has wasted tens of thousands of hours when I should have been sleeping, trying to figure stuff out, having conversations with people that aren't there, you know what I mean? You know, and then getting mad at them for their answers. You know what I mean? I'm like, your mama. You know, it's like we get into that place, don't we? And it's like, because it's like when your mind can't access the information, it just has to go somewhere. I'm just throwing out an idea. Maybe you don't like sleep. That's cool. That's fine. I really like sleep. Maybe you should just ask for a word of wisdom. You know, James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that if we lack wisdom, we can ask and God will give it generously. And I believe this is speaking, at least in part, about a word of wisdom. That when you have a difficult situation, man, ask the Lord. See what he'll do in that situation. Remember, it is a solution. It's an insight. It's a strategy that God wants to give you, not just facts. That's a word of knowledge. I love that. Sometimes that's very necessary. But at the same, and here's the thing, is you may say, well, you know, that's awesome for my spiritual problems, but I have business problems. Yeah, God doesn't care about business. Wrong! Okay, does God care about, Jehovah Jireh, okay, God who provides. Okay, God's not a counterfeiter, okay? When you pray for money, God's not like, all right, guys, just keep this on the lowdown. We're just going to print a bunch of money for the Christians, okay? That's not how it works. I know some of you are like, whoa, really? No, that's not how it works. What God does, often when you need provision, God will give you what? Some wisdom, maybe some insight, maybe a strategy, maybe a solution, maybe some knowledge that's going to help you. Look, my wife and I had this happen right before we moved to New Zealand. We had a business deal that just came about that the Lord's like, you need to pursue this. We did. Like, it blew up, man. And it's like, we came to New Zealand in style. You know, okay, we've been dirt farmers ever since, but it was an awesome year or so. You know, you remember that? It was cool. Anyways. So, yeah, I did. I flew business class to New Zealand, but anyways. That was, that had nothing to do with the financial thing. It was just a blessing that God gave. So here's the thing. I want us to understand, word of knowledge is facts. Word of wisdom is a solution or a strategy. And then we're going to talk in a few weeks, probably maybe even a month or two, about prophecy. Now, here's the thing. Prophecy is creative. Prophecy will often refer to facts. Sometimes it will give a solution. But by its nature, it is creative. Lynn Leone's going to get into that. I'm really looking forward to it. But there's a difference. They're not all the same. These three things are not the same, you know, different names for the same thing. We have the ability. How did God create the world? He spoke it into being. As he is, so are we in this world. Words are important. I've shared this story before. What's his name? Michael Sam. I've shared that he was the first openly gay, openly homosexual player to be drafted into the National Football League, the Gridiron League in the U.S. This guy, I've told, he's a monster. He's huge, tough. And he, in an interview, he said for his whole life, his dad and his older brother told him he was a worthless faggot. Words have impact. And I'm not condemning anyone for anything, but I'm saying this guy was pushed into something because of words that created a reality for him. How many of you have friends who their parents will say, you're worthless, you'll never amount to anything? And what happens to that child? Don't be deceived, folks. Your words have impact. I choose to speak words of destiny over my children. I choose to speak words that are going to uplift them and help them fulfill what God has for them. Words of victory, words of overcoming. I digress. Okay, so now I want to just a few quick biblical examples of what sort of maybe a word of wisdom looks like. Briefly. Okay, this is one of the ones I heard recently that I thought was really, really good. A word of wisdom. Noah with his ark. Okay, let me just paint a picture here. Remember, Noah is living in what we would have called Pangaea, the world as one landmass before it broke apart. And in the days of Peleg, the Bible tells us, the world split apart. So Noah's living in this sort of one landmass. Okay, so it's like there's literally, you can walk everywhere. I don't mean like most places. I mean everywhere. There is no need for boats at all. And in the middle of this landlocked single landmass, God says, build a boat. And Noah's like, what is boat? You know what I mean? And it's like, and so what did he do? You know, what did, I'll go down to the coast and see some boat builders. Okay, everybody's like, boat, what is this? You know, nobody understands what's going on. And he says, it's not only going to be a boat, it's going to be a floating zoo. Noah's like a farmer. Okay, so who taught him animal husbandry? Okay, and maybe cows and pigs and stuff like that, maybe. Okay, but giraffes and rhinoceroses? Who taught him these things? So he gets this word. Remember, it's pretty specific. And one of the things I heard, I had a friend who was very into to ships, and he said that the dimensions that God gave Noah are still effectively used today, like the height to width to length. That there, it's a very specific formula that they still use today. Oh, amazing. It's like God was like a really good boat builder. Okay, and it's not like, you know, Noah's like, you know, trial and error, let's try to figure it out. You know, had a little bathtub where he's like making models. Ooh, I don't know about that one. You know, it's like, no, God gave him insight, solution. There's going to be a flood coming. Remember, it hadn't ever rained before. And he's like, then God's like, no, it's going to rain. And he's like, I do not understand rain. He's like, well, there's going to be water that falls from the sky and the fountains of the deeps were going to, you know, break up. I don't understand, you know, and he's like, it's going to flood the whole world. Solution given. Now, here's the thing. As Noah's building this boat, It's like, do you think for that, and it was decades, remember, between when God did this and how long it took Noah to do it? Do you think everybody was like, you know, that's a great idea? The people who walk by, hey, what's Noah doing? Oh, you know, and who doesn't have a neighbor who's got a boat in their yard? You know what I mean? You know, but it's like, as they saw this, was everybody like, oh, well, that's a fantastic idea. We're in the middle of the desert, you know, and Noah's going to make a floating zoo. That's fantastic. See, wisdom doesn't always look wise. Amen? I mean, it doesn't always look foolish, but it doesn't always look wise. And so he had to pursue in this for a long time. Okay, another one. Genesis chapter 41. Joseph, remember Joseph, in prison. He has, he's called out of prison to interpret a dream for Pharaoh. Now, I believe he had a word of knowledge because he received facts that told him what the dream was. But after that, he prepares a strategy, doesn't he? He said there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So we're going to take a portion of the yield in these years of plenty and we're going to put them aside for the years of famine. Now, here's the thing. For those 7 years of plenty, do you think everybody was like, yeah, this is great. Putting stuff aside for the future, that's an awesome idea. I guarantee people are like, man, we're going back gangbusters. Why do we have to put this produce aside? But that's what carried them through and literally turned Egypt into the world power in that day. Jesus, many examples of a word of wisdom. You know, one of the ones I love is when the Pharisees came to him and tried to trap him and said, you know, Lord, should we pay taxes? And sometimes a word of wisdom can just stop the mouth of people. Just, should we pay taxes? Now, if Jesus says yes, he's going to lose all his followers. If he says no, he's going to be arrested and stoned to death, or you know, killed before his time because he's causing sedition amongst the Romans. And what does he say? Hey, man, whose inscription is on that coin? Well, Caesar's. Well, then render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and to God that which is God. Boom. Wisdom that he had. So here's the thing. We're looking to step into a place of utilizing these gifts. And there's many that we've talked about that are just a scratch of the surface of what's available to the body of Christ. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And sometimes I think we have this idea, and I talked about this last week. I want to reiterate it. When we call these spiritual gifts, we tend to have a thought like each one is put in a package and maybe you get one and maybe you don't, but you only get one. And so the reason I like to call these manifestations is because they're power sources. They're not a gift that you're like hoping, oh, did I get a good one? You know, and if you don't, you're like, oh, great, socks and underwear from Nana again. Okay, well, you know, it's, oh, and he got the race car track. Well, you know, I mean, it's like, that's not how it works. This is the best analogy I can give. These spiritual manifestations, they're like a multi-box. You know what I'm saying? They're like a multi-box. And you sit there and you're like, you know what? I'm in this situation of ministry. I have this situation where I want to manifest, I want to bring forth the manifest presence of God. You know, I want to download it into the, I want to have the mind of Christ. You know what I'm saying? Well, there you go. I need the gifts of healing right now. Oh, you know, actually what I need a word of knowledge about this person. Oh, you know, maybe I need some wisdom to go along with that. It's like, what do you need right now? Well, that's what you can plug into. But this is what God provides. You have to choose to plug into it. Because we may say things in our ministry like, you know, Scott, I got no juice. Things just aren't flowing from me. It's just, it's not happening. Guys, you got to plug in. You have to choose to plug in. And we can say, okay, you know, Scott, I'm tracking with you. I understand. It is. I believe it's a multi-box. That there's opportunities that we have that it's our choice to ask God what he wants us to do. And as he does, he provides this multi-box, and we just simply plug in. So here's what we're going to do. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm just going to read it to you. Hebrews chapter 5, really verse 14 or thereabouts, it says, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Guys, we got to practice. We got to practice. So once again, I've heard this quote ascribed to Jonathan Wesley. Some say it's not Jonathan Wesley. I don't really care who it is. But they when asked why so many people come to see him, it said that Wesley said, "I set myself on fire and people come to watch me burn." And I think sometimes that's our mentality. You know, I'll go to church to watch someone burn. I'll go to church to watch the worship team burn. I'll go to church to hear whoever's speaking, to watch them burn. But understand, guys, I have no desire to be a display. I want to be a match that sets all of us on fire. That's what I want to see happen. And so we, on Wednesday night, we had a game that we sort of came up with that we really sort of enjoyed. And we watched God just do some really cool stuff. And it was a little, there was a comfort zone issue, you know. But here's the thing, is I want to be effective. I want to manifest the presence of God more than I want to be comfortable. I can't speak for you. I can speak for me. I want to manifest the presence of God more than I want to be comfortable. So this game, okay, we're gonna bring in the youth. Let's see if we can, do you want to, yeah, bring the kids in. And once again, the reason that we bring the kids in is because we don't simply want to experience God. You know, we've had a couple prophecies that our children and our youth are going to go much further than we are, and we're actually going to learn from them. So we're taking that on board, and we want what we find uncomfortable to be very comfortable to them. And so we're gonna invite them in and let them see some of this, you know, and let them participate in some of this. Some of them are showing really, really intense understanding of the spiritual world, and it's been exciting. I believe that we're all, not only do we have spiritual gifts from day one that the enemy tries to stomp out, but I believe that we all have an innate understanding, an inborn understanding of the spiritual world that the enemy likes to see diminished. So we begin to reason more so than feel spiritually, where there's a balance between both. So I'm just going to have the worship team come up. We're just going to have them, they're just going to play a little bit. And basically, as they play, the idea is we're just trying to, you know, create a comfortable space. But we're going to spend just a little while, and we're going to play this game, and the game is called Pray, Prophesy, or Praise. Pray, Prophesy, or Praise. And here's how it works. Basically, you're going to find someone next to you. You're going to get in very small groups of twos or threes, and as you do, you're going to kind of look to them, and you're going to say, "Do you want me to pray for you? Do you want me to give you some praise? Or do you want me to prophesy?" Now, when you pray for them, it might be a prayer for healing. They might need an area of healing. They might just need a situation prayed for. They might need a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. When you praise them, they might just need some edification. They might just need to be built up. And that's okay. And then sometimes they'll ask for a prophecy. Now, here's the thing. Some of you are going, "Oh my goodness, this is going to be so weird. Oh, I'm totally terrified of what might happen." Okay, so we're going to have some helpers who are available. We're going to have some helpers who are going to kind of work among us and walk among us. So if you totally freak out and feel like you can't do it and it ain't going to work, just lift up your hand. Okay, just quick, you know, raise up your hand and say, hey, I need a little bit of help. And these guys, I wanted to call them elves, but I got outvoted. That's okay. Not really, but it's all right. So we're calling them helpers. And if you're a helper, just raise your hand real quick. Just some of those, maybe Sarah, maybe Natalie as well, Jabron, myself. Those are some of the ones, Russell in the back, who are just going to be there to help. And if you need a little bit of help, just raise your hand. So what I want you to do, let's turn on the music there, Russell. There you go. Is we're going to just take a moment to just sort of settle our hearts so we're not freaking out. But it's not just about me burning today. It's not just about these guys burning today. It's about us being set on fire today. So there's just going to be an opportunity for us just to say, hey, look, do you want pray, prophesy, or praise? And you're just going to get around someone, you're going to turn to them, and you're just going to ask them that question. You're just going to lift them up. Now remember, before you freak out, some of you just got to plug in. Some of you just got to plug in. Ask the Lord. Okay, so is there any questions? Anybody have any confusion? This is going to be something that we're going to do on a fairly regular basis, and I'll tell you what, you're going to begin to love it. But it is something that it's gonna push us. It's gonna push the envelope. So include your kids. Get around people. I don't mind if it's people who you're comfortable with. I'd prefer it be people that you're uncomfortable with. But there's gonna be people there standing up who are there to help you. Amen? So remember, pray, prophesy, or praise. Alrighty? Cool. Why don't we just take those lights down, just the front ones, just so people feel... We want everybody to feel comfortable. We don't want people to feel exposed. And I'm just going to pray for you right now as we start. Lord, we know that your spirit is here among us. We know that your heart is to speak truth over your people. And Father, we want to be vessels. Amen? We want to be vessels. Amen? Amen. Of your truth. We want to be vessels of your power. We want to be vessels of your manifestation. So, Lord, use us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, once again,